Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class, a short Bible study, about 13, 14 minutes, but every day, 7 days a week, keeping us in God's Word. Now, that not only helps strengthen and keep strong our faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17, but it also helps keep us focused on our relationship with God. And that is vitally important as to how we direct our lives every day, day in and day out. Help people in your life turn their life around, grow in their faith, and come to God by sharing these short studies with them through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means every day. You may help turn a life around. You may help somebody even get to heaven. What a great blessing for them and for you. So make that commitment today and every day. We're going to get back into our new line of thought and study. We're asking a question by way of directing this study. We're asking the question, what makes a nation great? Now, we used as something of a base text to begin with, Proverbs 13, verse 34. And here the wise man said, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach, or synonyms to that particular translated word would be a shame, a disgrace. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach, or a shame, or disgrace to any people. And I began by asking you, stop and think about our country. Here's where we live. Now, we can point fingers all around the world, and we can point out nations that have gone in evil directions, but we live here, and so this is where we have the greatest focus and the greatest experience personally. Look at our nation. Where are we right now? Now, if you look at it from purely a military perspective, an economic perspective, maybe a resource perspective, and put all of those perspectives together, well, we're recognized as being the only superpower on earth. There is no nation that would compare to us when you put everything together, and particularly our military might and our economic might, and say, well, yeah, we're as great as the United States of America. We're recognized as being basically the only superpower. Now, there's another nation or two out there who's kind of trying to challenge us in that regard, but basically, we're it. We used to think of there being at least three superpowers, but the others have gone by the wayside, not really qualifying under that term super, quote unquote, any longer. But don't think about just whether we're a superpower, whether we have the mightiest and most technologically advanced military, whether we have the greatest wealth of any nation our size and ability. Just think about our nation. Where are we when it comes to morals, when it comes to spirituality? Are we a great nation from those perspectives? And have we not, over a period of decades now, gradually but steadily drifted farther and farther away from God and His will for our lives? Just a few days ago, I heard about a survey apparently that had been taken, or a study, and it said that how many people in our country, I believe it was focused just upon our country, how many people really go to the Bible for guidance and direction on a regular basis, really pay attention, want to gauge their lives and guide their lives by the teachings of God's Word? It's at only 30-some percent. Now, we have digressed, devolved to that point. Only 30-some percent. Now, where does that leave everybody else? You're talking about the vast majority do not try to gauge, guide, direct their lives by God's will communicated in His Word. Where are we headed? If righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach or a disgrace, a shame to any people, and we're going more and more off in the direction of sinful immorality, sinful practices, and trying to excuse them by saying, no, this is good now. This is good. Remember another warning. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Well, that's where we're at to a great extent in our nation and going farther and farther down that path. Remember, God created this world, and God can take this world out at any time he would deem necessary. Now, that's not a scare tactic. That's actually brought out in Scripture. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, God created the earth. God created the world. God created the universe and everything in it. And those are not the only texts of Scripture that we turn to read about that reality. So if God is the creator, and he is all-powerful, and we read many times that he is all-powerful, then he is all-powerful also to bring this world to an end if he deems that necessary. In Genesis chapter 5, we read that he did that at one particular point through a cataclysmic worldwide flood and spared only one family, the family of Noah, because Noah was righteous. But the text tells us that God was sorry that he had made man because he looked upon humanity as a whole and said, the thoughts and intents of their heart are only evil continually. What a horrible characterization of mankind that existed in the world at that time. So God cleansed the earth through the flood and started over again from the family of Noah. Where are we now? Do we pay attention to that vivid visual aid lesson from history? A whole lot of people would say, that was just myth. That never happened. There was never a worldwide flood. Do you realize that there are sea life fossils on every mountain range around the world? How'd they get into those mountains without the worldwide flood? Well, that's another study for another time. But there has never been another nation, probably, just like America. If a person could have seen the engineering of Egypt, the splendor of Rome, the commerce of Phoenicia, going back into ancient days, the culture of Greece, the mysteries of China, the dignity of England, and the beauty of Brazil, he still would have come away convinced that America excelled all of those nations. Even at this hour, how many people are waiting to get into the United States? How many people are leaving their countries to come here for a better life? Thousands await visas to leave their homelands and travel to America legally. How many others? We don't even know the numbers, the millions who have come across and continue to come across our borders illegally. But we know that the numbers are vast, that they are great. Why? Why are all those people leaving their nations to come here? Because they perceive that this is the better life, the better place to be. They'll leave behind all that is familiar to them in their lands to begin again a new life in what we know as the land of the free and the home of the brave. America is the greatest collection of laws, land, liberty, people, and passion that probably has ever been seen on the planet. since the days of the creation. Truly, or at least since the days of the flood. Truly, God, and this is how we need to look at it, God has shed his grace on America. Have we lived up to that grace? Now, there's no way that even on an individual basis we can truly live up to the grace that God bestows upon us. He's God. We're mortal. But have we tried? Are we still trying as a nation, as a people, as a culture, to live up as well as we can, to live up to the grace that God has bestowed upon this nation? The answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? No, not as a people, not as a nation, as a whole. Now, are there people, are there multitudes of people who try? Yes. But the nation, that group of people is becoming smaller and smaller. Smaller and smaller in percentage of the total population. We need to turn it around. We need to come back to God. We need to repent individually, but also as a people and as a nation. Things that were recognized openly and on a general basis within our population not many years ago as being ungodly, sinful, immoral, are now touted as being righteous and good, and even in some cases they would be proclaimed to be godly. But they violate the clear moral teachings of God's Word revealed to us clearly in Scripture. And all Scripture is God's very Word. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Now, I want us to start to make some comparisons and look a little deeper and hopefully and prayerfully get us to really stop and think in depth. What makes a nation great? And are we there, truly? Let's pray. Father, please guide us in your will, and help us to see your will as your will. And help us to see that your way is the best way for each of us individually, but also for us as a nation. Guide our leaders, Father, to be the leaders you want them to be, to lead us as a people in the ways of righteousness and morality and godliness. Please help us to come to the realization that we need to repent as a nation and as individuals. Please forgive us, gracious Father, and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.